You ever use the expression, well, it's a small world? You ever say that? Well, it's a small world. You ever met somebody that you get to talking and they seem to know somebody that's close to you, but somehow that you never would have guessed? And you always say the same thing. Oh, it's a small world. Ernie's sitting right there with his crop walk shirt on. He was talking to my mother and father the other day, or guys, a year ago or so, when they were here, and they got to talking, and sure enough, they had a common friend back in Virginia 40 years ago, right? Rittenour, Joe Rittenour is his name. My mom and dad also were on a cruise one time, and they were sitting around the table, you know, the dinner table where they assign you where you're supposed to sit, and they were sitting at the table, and they got to talking with the couple next to them, and they asked them, well, where are you from? And they said, well, we're from Colorado. And my mom, of course, said, hey, my kids are from Colorado. They live in Parker. And the people said, Parker? Little old Parker? Well, we're from Parker. And my mom said, well, that's awesome. Maybe you know my son and his wife. Their names are Pat Bell and Jennifer Bell. And they said, oh, we don't know any Bells in Parker. What do they do? And my mom said, well, now this is a few years ago. They said, well, they own a sewing machine and a vacuum store there in town. And the lady said, oh my gosh, we just bought a vacuum from them last week. And my mom said, well, isn't it a small world? We're going to get a little bit of that today in our scripture reading. We kind of begin with the Apostle Paul. Everybody knows who the Apostle Paul is, and we know toward the end of his ministry, he found himself imprisoned in Rome. Now, at the time, Paul was lucky enough. He didn't have to spend a whole lot of time in these dark, you know, dank prisons. Paul was imprisoned, but he got to rent a house and, you know, have some people that were helping him out there at the house. And he was just basically under house arrest, okay? So Paul's under house arrest, and he starts talking with this young man who's working there in the house. And he asks him, you know, what's your name? And the guy says, my name is Onesimus. And he says, oh, Onesimus, nice to meet you. And they get to talking, you know, over the course of weeks. And eventually, although knowing Paul, probably not so eventually, is more up front, he said, do you know about this guy Jesus? And so they get to talking about Jesus, and Onesimus finally says, yeah, I believe that. You got me. I'm one of you. I'm there. So then they start talking a little bit more, and he says, where are you from, Onesimus? Onesimus says, I'm from a town called Laodicea. And Paul says, Laodicea? I've been there. I know Laodicea. You know that restaurant down on the corner? Yes, I know, I've eaten there. And he says, well, what brings you here to Rome if you're from Laodicea? That's a long way away. And he says, well, you know, I have to confess, you know, I actually ran from Laodicea. I'm here kind of hiding from someone that I have wronged. And that's where we find Paul today. He's got a decision to make, Paul does, of what he's going to do with this information. Now, it's not entirely 100% clear exactly what Onesimus did. But I've done a little research, and here's what I think happened. Onesimus stole something, money, whatever, property, from a man named Philemon. Now, back then, if you stole something and you couldn't pay it back, and they caught you, of course, and then you couldn't pay it back, you ran the risk of being enslaved, either until the debt was paid or 6 years, whichever came first. So Onesimus, knowing that was coming, hightailed it out of town. Okay? Well, when Paul found out who it was that Onesimus had wronged, Philemon, he said, I know him.
I started a church in his house. Small world. And again, Paul had to decide, now what do I do? Paul sends him back. We'll get into that in a little bit. But he sends him back to Philemon with this letter. The letter of Paul to Philemon, by the way, is in the Bible, the letter of Paul to Philemon. If you didn't know that there was a book of Philemon, you're not alone. You generally don't hear it preached on very often. And it wasn't until years of Bible study that I had ever heard there was a book of Philemon. So you're getting exposed to this today. This is the letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker. To Apphia, our sister. To Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that's the end of the letter. What is required? What is the right thing to do? In this scripture, we find three people, at least three people, who are faced with this question. Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. Paul has to decide what to do with Onesimus. You see, Onesimus was now his brother in the faith and a good helper on top of that. But even more, Paul describes himself as his father and Onesimus as his son. He's sending back his own heart. So clearly, he loves this young man. Does he run the risk of sending him back, knowing that he could be putting him in jeopardy of enslavement? Or does he let him stay there in Rome and continue to hide and thereby avoid facing the situation that he had created, that Onesimus had created? We have to understand, however, that Paul not just loves Onesimus, But he loves Philemon too. And by letting Onesimus stay, he would be wronging Philemon, someone that he loves as well. He would be keeping Onesimus from making restitution. Now, eventually, Paul decided the right thing to do was to send him back to Philemon, but with a pledge to Philemon that whatever was owed, Paul himself would pay. That everything that Onesimus was owed punishment-wise, or whatever debt Onesimus had to pay, Paul himself would pay it. Just like Christ, our example, Paul was willing to give of himself to pay the price for his brother in the faith, escape the rightful punishment. Paul knew what was required, and he satisfied it. Atonement for Onesimus's deed was being paid. Now let's look at Onesimus and the choice that he has to make. See, Onesimus is being sent back, okay? He's talked to Paul. Paul says, I'm going to send you back to Philemon, but I'm going to give you this letter. Now, Onesimus has a choice. Do I go back like Paul wants me to and trust Philemon to do as Paul would ask? Do I trust this relationship between the two is strong enough where I can get out of the punishment that I deserve? Or, you know, he could also turn the other way and run even farther away and continue to hide. He chooses to trust. He chooses to put his faith in Paul and in Philemon. In Paul's sacrifice and in Philemon's mercy. And finally, Philemon has a choice to make. He knows and loves Paul. That's pretty clear. They are brothers in the faith. He and his wife host the church that Paul started in their home. They are known, as Paul says, for their love of the saints, for their hospitality, for refreshing the saints. And it's this reputation for love and hospitality that Paul is counting on. So you can imagine, Philemon hears the doorbell, and he gets up and he goes to open the front door, and he opens the door, and here in front of him is this guy who has wronged him, who has dishonored him. So before he gets a chance to grab something and hit him with it, Onesimus says, wait, I have a letter. Philemon decides to read it. And it's what we heard earlier. So as he reads this, he has a choice to make. Does he forgive? Does he decide to take that debt and then ascribe it to Paul? Or does he say, no, this man did me wrong and he deserves to be punished and it is my right to do it? And it is, he would have been right. It was his right. But just as the others did, Philemon decided to do what was right. He looked at the situation, he deliberated about what was the right thing to do, and just as the others did, Philemon chose the path that best represents what faith and trust in Christ is all about. Clearly, in this short passage of Scripture, we see a reflection. I hope you've seen it. This reflection of our relationship with God. It lifts up for us through Paul what it is to be self-sacrificing, to give for others. We see Christ's atonement for our sins. We see in the Scripture lifted up through Onesimus what it is to trust that that atonement is going to pay the price for what we have done. And we see through Philemon what it means to forgive and to love those who have done us wrong, to welcome those into our home. In the same way, we see three characteristics, key characteristics of our faith in Christ: self-sacrifice, encouragement for others as they try to learn to trust in Christ, to understand their need for salvation, and then forgiveness and love. key characteristics of our faith. In this little book of Philemon, we find a wealth of teaching about God and about ourselves. We find a book that helps us to understand our place in God's plan. We find a story that encourages us when we have a choice to make. It's like Cody was talking about with the kids, to figure out what is required and what is the right thing to do. And we find assurance that God, that the love of God is constant. And with the atonement already made, His hospitality and love is inconceivable. Now, some of you may be wondering, whatever happened to Onesimus? Well, it wasn't too long after, about 10 years later, that there was a bishop in Ephesus named Onesimus. The forgiveness of Philemon was a blessing to so many Christians throughout that region. And our forgiveness and our love and our hospitality, we have no idea how far it can reach. So I hope that you won't let this little book of Philemon retreat back into obscurity again. Now that you've heard it, pull it out every once in a while. It clearly doesn't take long to read. And that was the whole book. But I hope you'll pull it out every now and again and let it speak to you anew. Let it reinforce those three key characteristics. Let it make a difference to you and to everyone that you encounter. Because after all, it's a small world, isn't it? Amen? Amen. Before we go out into God's creation, I would ask you to strongly and vociferously and excitedly stand and sing my absolute favorite hymn ever, How Great Thou Art. Let's sing it out to the glory of our God, shall we?